know, everyone has talked about, I'm sure you all have, everybody has their feeling, everybody has a story, everybody remembers being here or there on this or that song. But what doesn't get said is that might be one of the most universally known records in the history of music. I mean, that's a record that virtually everybody knows the words to. You know, there's certain songs in the world, and that's one of them. But truly, what a loss. And when I, you know, as a matter of fact, Kev, if you remember, last week, one of our guests made reference to the fact that she had passed, and we refrained from saying it because we couldn't prove it on the spot. So then it wasn't until the next day that she passed, but we were on the spot with someone who was on Facebook or whatever. But I tell you, man, it hit me like I lost my aunt. You know, it was like you lost someone that you knew and loved. She had that much impact. And Clive Davis, the great promoter, orchestrator of the careers of so many superstars, identified her as the greatest voice in music. And we could talk all night about Aretha, but what a loss, what a loss. And such a young age, 76 years of age, in this day and time, in this day and time. So, fellas, any Aretha comments, anybody?
Oh, yeah. The thing about Aretha, she's touched everybody with her song. But I didn't realize, because you would see Aretha only did great events, you know, in her later years. And she would disappear. And now all the stories are coming out about how comical she was. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that she was a great cook. And a great, great mother to her kids. You know, real, real close-knit with family. And like you say, when you hear that, and it kind of, because we all love Aretha, it kind of fills in the blank.
Well, how many of you knew, because I didn't know, and let me tell you what, my mother, there was a time if you came in my mother's house and she had her Aretha Franklin album on, you couldn't speak.
Yeah, you couldn't say anything.
Either get out or sit down and shut up. That was your choices. But how many of you knew that she had two children by the age of 14?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know, and that's remarkable. Certainly, number one, she grew up in the church. That speaks volumes to that circumstance that you just have to wonder about. Number two, that she was able to recover, if you will, from that to become the person she became. I just think it's remarkable. And in that day and time, and keep her children. It's just, when I heard that, I'd never heard that in my life.
I heard a story about she sang a song that Eartha Kitt had sung way back. And I think it was another artist, I think Lena Horne, but it wasn't Lena Horne. But I remember this, of course, Aretha was really big. And the story is that Eartha Kitt was saying to the other woman, "Did you hear that young Aretha sing that song?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm never singing that song again." You know, she just had that voice, but also, you know, her activism. That it's not often she gets credit for the things that she's done, either singing at important engagements or with certain, I'm trying to say it, the kind of things that she, what was it?
Finesse.
Exactly. Took the word right out of my mouth.
That's why she's here.
But she just had that quality that only Aretha had.
Well, and listen, you know, there used to be, go ahead, Kev.
No, did any of you have the opportunity to see her perform live?
Oh, I saw her twice.
Okay.
I saw her twice. I saw her, I guess you may have, she performed at the old Three River Stadium with Stevie Wonder. Probably 78, 79, something like that. Outdoors in a stadium like that, she's not as appreciated voice-wise. And then we saw her at Heinz, I guess 2 years ago, was it, Keith? She performed in Heinz Hall. Yeah, Heinz Hall.
Not too long ago then.
2 years ago. And you knew then. As a matter of fact, ironically, Isaac Hayes performed a year before at Heinz and died 2 weeks after he performed here. If everybody remembers, I was at that concert, and you could tell that Isaac Hayes wasn't Isaac Hayes as we knew him. and then Aretha performing at Heinz, she went into a very long spiritual song slash dissertation. Mm-hmm. It was, and I'll be honest with you, it was so long that you began to say, come on, Aretha, get back to the hits. Mm-hmm. Now, in retrospect now, you know, you appreciate it, but at the time, you could tell that she wasn't herself. You could tell that.
But she always did that, from what I know.
Yeah, this was long. This was long, like you saw people twitching, moving, like, come on. I mean, it was talked about. Mm-hmm. But I did want to offer this. You know, one of her national anthems, if you will, was...
You better watch it, Bill. Can you say national anthem around here, man?
Well, you ain't going to take a knee.
You take a knee?
No, you won't find me taking a knee anyway, but go
my
ahead.
My mother and my aunts used to sing this, you know, back in the day when your mom and your aunts were young people before you were born, and they used to go to the bars and all that kind of stuff, and they would say... don't send me no doctor, filling me up with all them pills. Yeah. Got me a man named Dr. Feelgood. So, I mean, that all the older ladies used to sing that song, man. So it's just a lot of memories. And I guess for me, and I'll leave it at this, when she stepped in for the great opera singer, mm-hmm. Pavarotti or one of the greatest opera voices in the history of the world gets sick 3 days before his concert here in Pittsburgh, Aretha steps in, volunteering to step in, not only takes his role, takes his part, but sings it flawlessly. Mm-hmm. I mean, who does that? That's like...
Right.
Aretha.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just unbelievable. So, our from Soul Tape Champions Live, to all the voices in Detroit hearing this, our condolences, our best wishes, our love for the great Aretha Franklin, man. That's just... Never gone, because that music's going to... I was on a 2-day Aretha Franklin Greatest Hits binge. Mm-hmm. You know, and so not to be done.
I want to make a correction. I think when I was telling my story, I think I said Eartha Kitt. It was Etta James.
Etta James.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
I know it was either Wilson Pickett or trying to think that had a song that he was doing, and then Aretha did it, and he said, I can't do that.
That's respect.
What song? Respect. Respect. Okay, it was respect.
Yeah, that's respect.
Because he came out with respect first.
Yeah.
He said, I can't do this again.
I'm done.
So we're talking about Aretha Franklin, and we mentioned the national anthem, okay, her version of the national anthem. Do you remember her singing the national anthem at any sporting event, an NBA game, an All-Star game?
To be honest, I don't.
NFL.
I don't.
Seems like she would always sing God Bless America.
She did it at Obama's thing, I think.
Oh, she definitely did it for President Obama.
But at a sporting event,
but
you're saying.
At a sporting event. Yeah. I mean, we all remember Stevie Wonder, right?
Right.
We all remember Marvin Gaye. We remember Whitney Houston.
Right.
I just happen to think about Aretha. If she did it.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Now she mentioned
presidential. Well, several presidents she did.
And being from Detroit, I would think that she at least did a Detroit game, a Detroit Lions game or a Pistons game.
Well, listen, great memories to be had forevermore, and we will remember the great Aretha Franklin from here on out. I want to turn the microphone to my good friend Larry Baxter, who hails from Harrisburg, where he was basketball star, track star, did all that great stuff back in the day. Came to Slippery Rock University, and we met in the gym in 1970, and been best friends ever since. But Bax, I know you've tuned into the show a couple times, so I wanted to make sure when you were in town visiting with your lovely wife Bonnie, that I got your voice in here live. But a little bit of background from Harrisburg to Slippery Rock, and I know you're not. I know for a fact you're not one to talk about you, but just give us a little bit of the accomplishments at the Rock.
Thank you, Bill. I'm now in Jacksonville now, and I just want to give a holler out to Jacksonville in case folks are listening down there.
What's your boy's name? The neighbor that got sick.
Glover. Dwayne Glover.
Dwayne Glover. This is a shout out for you. Dwayne Glover's like Mr. Haney on Green Acres.
Okay.
We was on his back porch. He come in. Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing? What do you need? I got it.
And Larry, before you start too, so you actually saw Bill when he was just down in Jacksonville. Is that right? When he took that long train ride down to Jacksonville.
I'm the one he came to see. I heard he gave that story. I felt bad for him.
I told him, of all the stuff we've done since January, those comments we got was about me on a train in the middle of the night. Was an old white woman looking at me at 3 in the morning thinking I'm Joe Green.
I feel bad about that because he asked me about the train, and I had taken the auto train. And for those of you who know the auto train, you get on in Maryland, and it goes down to Sanford near Orlando, and it's a straight shot, and it's a lot more comfortable than the train that Bill was on.
Harp, I was on the train in the Twilight Zone. I was on the Twilight Zone train.
At least midnight.
Look, I went to, I dozed off, it was quarter after 12, and I said, well, I'll just shut my eyes and wake up in the morning. When I woke up, it was 20 after 12. I said, this is the Twilight Zone. I'm never getting off this train.
So you did the Gladys Knight midnight train.
Three midnights.
I'll tell you, my wife and I left for, where were we going?
You went to the Bahamas.
You
went to Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
And Bill left a day and a half before we got to Jamaica before he got back to
Bahamas. I bet. And had a 75-year-old woman hitting on him. Now,
I can't beat that, Bill.
I still say he's not telling us the whole story.
I let it go, man. I got to tell you the story off air, but I was wearing my Joe Green shirt, and she looked at me, she said, excuse me. Are you Joe Green? I said, no. Why would Joe Green be on a train in the middle of the night to nowhere? She said, because you don't want nobody to know you're Joe Green. I said, lady, go back to sleep. When about 2 hours later, I woke up. It was about 4 in the morning. I woke up and she was looking at me with one eye. I said, oh, this is not good. But look, let me do it for you. So basketball, great basketball player up in Harrisburg and track star. You come to Slippery Rock. National triple jump champion?
I had the state record for 2 years and school record. I'm not sure when I lost it. It fell sometime after I left. But NIA champ, 2 years. Pitt Invitational, 2 years champ. I'm trying to think. I think what I'm proud about is I never lost in the 3 years that I ran. The last year that I triple jump, I did lose. But I was doing an internship in Harrisburg, so when the team was up in Lock Haven or somewhere up north, they'd bring my uniform and I'd go and jump. So I came in third or second in those meets. Triple jump, Slippery Rock was good, good for me.
In Hubie, former track star, will attest to one of the most difficult events to compete in. I mean, the hurdles are no day at the beach either, but. Triple jump takes enormous talent, coordination, focus.
I have two artificial hips now to lay claim to that. It does take quite a bit of skill, as most events. People who specialize in events, in high school we jumped on that asphalt. Mm-hmm. And it probably wasn't until I went to Slippery Rock that I actually got to jump on something that resembled. Softness.
So back in the day at the Rock, had a lot of great times. Could have played basketball if you wanted to, but focus on triple jump and the track team. So what are you doing now? What's going on? You're living down in Jacksonville.
Retired. Have the opportunity to come up here and visit my good friend Bill, Bill Neal.
Good Bill.
Who punishes me when I come up. Just my wife and I just, dedicated to enjoying these whatever years we have left and traveling, seeing the whatever areas that we can get to, stretching our dollars as much as we can. I'm trying to get Larry Harper to come down and visit me. He keeps saying he is, but he doesn't. But
well, look. So I know when you get back, you're gonna, or maybe tonight actually. But I mean, we're in the cloud forever. So if it doesn't happen tomorrow, you can let people know. But just a few shout outs to some of the close people down in Jacksonville. And I'm doing this for a reason. I want you to throw some shout outs, run some names, and mention your daughter and where she's at, because I'm going to need you to call them to tell them to listen in so they can pull all their people in and we can grow our listening audience. So go ahead with some shout-outs.
Well, I have to go with family first. Terry Argy, my son down there, Shayla Baxter, who's in Alabama. She has a cake business, Tahela Cakes. I have to give a shout-out to that. Okay. Ron Miller, he's the guy that gave you the tour, Bill, when you came down up at Amelia Island. All of you who get a chance to come down to Jacksonville, please take some time and visit Amelia Island. They have American Beach up there, which is at the only black beach for blacks that could were allowed to go to the beach back in the 40s and 50s, 60s. A tremendous story. If you kind of Google that, you can get a big history on that. I also will probably say Dave, who's next door to me, Rudy, my next door neighbor, who and his wife have decided to or welcome to keep our plants watered while we're going up here. That's an important thing. It's really hot down there. But you know, there's some folks that I will send out and have sent out the address for this website for folks to listen to, because we want to get this, you know, the things you guys are doing down in that area as well.
Well, one of the things that we've been preaching and advocating and fighting for, and we owe all this to Alan Lincoln, the owner of Urban Media Today, is that Alan Lincoln, former general manager at WAMO Radio and a big time operator in that genre, put this thing on the market and has taken it to great places. And it's not easily done. It's not often done. And we owe a great deal to Alan for this effort. And what we've been respectfully putting out there is that, in fact, this is the only black-owned station, if you will, black-produced, black-starred, if you will. And it's making waves. And what it does is, and no disrespect to any of our colleagues, you know, the Bill Hillgroves and Stan Saverins and all the guys that we all know and worked with and learned from and all that, major props to all of them. But it does give another perspective. And that's what we've been trying to do with this show, not only offer the sporting news. As you can tell, we bounce around. But we want to be able to offer a perspective so that when you want to know, when the average listener listens to why a Steeler running back walks off the field and it's offered that he walked out on his team, there may be more to it than that from a black perspective. It may be that you told said running back that he was going to play X role and you took X role away, and he's deeply offended by that, and his way of expressing that is by walking off the field. So for Blunt, who did that, or for blacks who react in a different way because of circumstances or things in their background or their life that may cause them to do or say a certain thing a certain way, Soul Take Champions Live offers that. So I'm glad Larry finished up those shout-outs. It was getting a little bit boring, Larry. You have to admit, I looked over and saw you start to doze off when he got into the third or fourth row of people. That I wanted to say a couple of names. He started naming everybody in the village down in Jacksonville. But no, we're glad y'all got to listen. But let's go to Cav's favorite. Let's go to Cav's favorite subject and get Hubie Bryan rung in here. But look. Larry Baxter will tell you. Tell them about the Steeler fans in Jacksonville, Baxter.
Big following. Yeah, they have bars that are dedicated to Steeler fans. They did a study with the Jaguars and go Jaguars, but there was a huge number of people responding to the survey that were Steeler fans versus Jaguar fans. So
did I hear you say go Jaguars?
I got to go back to Jacksonville.
Yeah,
so
who do you like?
And I'm not going to. Oh, I'm a Steeler fan.
You're here now. I mean, you might not make it back. Saying
I'm
go.
I'm a Harden Steeler fan.
Go Jack. Okay, now you're talking.
No mojo on me. I'm getting back.
You gotta live in Jacksonville.
Gotta live in Jacksonville. But yeah, there's a huge Steeler.
Now, do you? There's a place in Jacksonville where you go regularly to watch games. Everybody parties. Steeler time.
Well, we usually go to homes. People's homes, and they, you know, we have Steeler parties, but there are some, you know, bars or watering holes, you might want to call them, that are look like your Steeler man caves, guys.
You know? Okay.
Oh man, you got to see Cav's cave. I mean, Cav's cave is special. You don't want to play pool there, however, because he'll invite you over to play pool, thinking that you can't play. Well. And he may not have realized that when he invited a certain person, I won't name him, me, that I won a couple tournaments at Slippery Rock and got stick. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm about to wipe out him and his boys, all of a sudden the rules change. Mm-hmm. Like the rules you've been playing with all your life in tournament play. Now there's some different rules. But look, Hume, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah,
look,
I mean, what it comes down to, like I said before, when you play, you need skills. You have to bring your skills through the door.
No matter
what. That's what gets you through. And we all know as you age, your body changes, right? I mean, your eyesight and your hearing and everything. That cut in the corner that you used to be able to make, you can't make anymore.
Personal all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All
right. Look. Might have to break your readers out to play pool.
Here's another guy that never talks about himself, never ever, but when you get him going, it's a matter of respect. When we were growing up in Penn Hills and Lincoln Park, everybody that came behind this guy wanted to be Hubie Bryant. The objective was be Hubie Bryant. Not necessarily be Hubie Bryant in terms of what he does, but be like Hubie Bryant. Be great like Hubie Bryant. He was our fearless leader in that respect. I told my guys when I was coming up learning how to play basketball, Hubie Bryant threw me the basketball, and I passed it to somebody. He told me, man, if I give you the ball, you shoot it. And I've been shooting ever since. I ain't stopped shooting since then. And I blame it on Hubie. When people look at me and say, what are you doing? I said, man, Hubie said shoot, and I'm shooting. But high school All-American, and literally he and Bill Frelick rank as the two greatest athletes out of Penn Hills High School. And we got to put Hubie ahead of Frelick because Frelick couldn't run no hurdles. He couldn't run no sprints. But what Frelick did, he did better than most. Out of Penn Hills High School on the University of Minnesota where it's cold. And Big Ten All-American, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers and made it to the 1% of 1% of people on the planet to get to the NFL. So Hubie Bryant, glad to have you on the show finally.
Hey, Bill, man, this is great, man. I'm here with two great guys. And I gotta tell you, the big guy over here.
Who? Hark.
Yeah.
Oh, Hark can
Larry,
shoot.
Larry, yeah.
He can shoot.
And he had a nasty elbow, too.
Well. Get on Bill.
Bill, Harper
would elbow you and then look at you like, what nerve do you have to say I just elbowed you? Like, you're supposed to take it and walk away.
You know, in Pittsburgh, it was no blood, no foul.
No foul.
You know, that's just how we played, right, you?
Yeah.
Hubie, my first question to you is, what was it like being in Minnesota? Like, a synopsis of your time in Minnesota and a couple of your accomplishments. I understand that your team just got called back for a special reunion of sorts.
Yeah, the 60th, this September, we celebrated the 50th Big Ten football championship. Now, and it's a strange celebration because when it happened, we ended up in a three-way tie. Purdue beat us, we beat Indiana beat Purdue. So, yeah. The dark age, sports was real. No, I mean, seriously, they had a no repeat rule. So Purdue had gone the year before, so they couldn't go.
That's crazy.
Right. I mean, there's only like four bowl games.
Who thought of that? No repeat rule. That's crazy.
The Big Ten, man. It was crazy. So, you know, they're going to take a vote as to who they're going to send between Indiana and us. And they said, well, I followed Sandy Stevens and Judge Dixon, all these guys from Clareton and Uniontown, up to Minnesota. And Minnesota went back in 60 when Sandy and those guys were on the team. So because they went in 60, they sent Indiana, who we beat 33-7. That didn't sit well with me. So when we got our original, this is a duplicate. When we got our original Big Ten rings, man, I hurled that thing across the room. Wow. I wanted that's how much the Rose Bowl meant to sure. the Big Ten.
Sure.
And I really wanted, that was, I had two goals I had set for myself. The Rose Bowl was one and the Olympics was the other. So I didn't get neither. So I was, you know, I've been pissed off. Don't mention Indiana to me. Can't stand Indiana.
But look, now just when you say Rose Bowl, didn't that send a shiver? Like Rose Bowl, like, you know, that's the granddaddy. That's the granddaddy.
Yeah, it was something. But in retrospect, not realizing that in that moment when we were all disappointed, and we kind of took the Big Ten championship as a bridesmaid gift,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that 50 years later you would be the last Big Ten champion in school history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way it's looking, they're going to be 51.
To be sure. And Big Ten hurdling champion?
No. I gave up hurdling at Minnesota because pretty much I was the only brother on the track team, and we didn't. You know, they needed me in 100 to 200, mm-hmm. 4x1 relay, mm-hmm. 4x4. So, 60-yard dash champion, 220. Hey, you know, as a matter of fact, I was looking at in some track records, and since 1901, there's only they've had all kind of All-Americans, Olympians, and things of that nature. But do you realize that there's only been one 220 Big Ten champion since 1901.
And that's you?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know.
Well, that's I mean, name. But it kind of blew my doors off. When I looked at this long list of 1901 of Big Ten champions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was looking at them and looking at the events and stuff. And there's only been three 60-yard dash champions, of which I'm the third one.
Well, that's...
That's crazy.
That's admirable, to be sure. Now, Larry, you're from Beaver Falls, right? So I want to offer this to the Beaver Falls guy. Now, Kevin's from Aliquippa. Double A, single A? I'm not
kidding. I'm from Aliquippa, but my family is also from Beaver Falls.
Okay, so that being said, my Aliquippa, this
family is from
right?
Beaver Falls.
Is it double A or single A?
I'm just trying to set the record straight.
Is it double A or single A? Double A?
Triple A.
And Beaver Falls is
double A
because Hubie and I are.
But it's triple A now.
Right. Oh, it is.
Currently today.
But Hubie and I are from Quad A. The reason that's not why I brought
it
up.
Well, but before that, we were Section 3 before Blackhawk. It used to be Blackhawk and Beaver Falls.
I didn't ask you that. The reason I brought it up.
We were at the top. In my day, we were at the top level.
The reason I brought it up.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we can turn your mic off. You'll be talking, won't nobody hear you. Now, look, the reason I'm bringing it up, Hugh, is that I use Larry as a catalyst to offer that. Your 66 track team was just honored at the Penn Hills Hall of Fame.
63-64.
And recognized as one of the greatest track teams, or the greatest track team in Penn Hills history.
I actually think that we need to be ranked as one of the 2 years, in 2 year span, okay, we were 19-0 and dual. We only lost one track meet. And that was the Allegheny County track meet in Western Pennsylvania. Back to back, Whip Hill, the whole nine yards. But we averaged 122 points to our opponents, 27.
And I'm glad you offered that. And just to show you that no one escapes the scathing tongue of Bill Neal. I will tell you that my 1968, 69, 70 track team, of which I was javelin, discus, mm-hmm. and shot put, that team is the greatest track team in Penn Hills history. And I beg to differ with you, Master. That that 1970 team, we owned WPIA.
Well, Bill, you don't have a track team in Aliquippa. One wants to hear about Penn Hills. Save that for after the show, man. Right. We have a break coming
up. Well, I was going out
minute.
On the break. I wanted to offer something for the Penn Hills. Penn Hills people listen online.
Well, we need to talk about the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Major League Baseball, the Pirates.
See what happens when you start talking Penn Hills. You see what happens?
Right, I see that. Yeah, but let me counter. Show me the statistics.
Well, I don't have those right now, but I have them. When we come back, we're going to come back on a couple things. One, some more Aretha Frank. So you used to break to your advantage.
Fake news.
We're going to come back. There's going to be some more Aretha music. Now we have to wonder what Kevin's coming with. Well, we knew Respect was out the gate, but now we got to see what he's coming with. Then we're coming back, talk NFL, Hubie Bryant and the Steelers, Kevin's favorite team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the craziness in Washington, D.C. Be right back in a moment.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.